So just a little bit of a review and recap. Last week, Pastor Ryan preached about self-righteousness. He talked about the danger of judging others and the need for humility and to be teachable. He also talked about the pride of correct doctrine, where we think we know better than anyone else exactly what God meant us to know. It's a little dangerous, isn't it? Today we're going to talk about the unseen sin of pride. This morning's pride is similar but different. We're going to look at, first, the pride of accomplishment and the desire for recognition. And then we're going to talk about the pride of an independent spirit, our desire to go it alone. We're going to talk about how God sees us in this sin and what we can do to realign ourselves with God's will. So as I've been studying for this and reading a lot and watching some videos, it seems that the topic of pride can be very frustrating for pastors. And it's a difficult message. Who needs to hear the message? Prideful people, right? So who doesn't want to hear the message? The same prideful people, of course. In jest, I could say, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I don't need this message, you do. So anyway, we don't want to hear the message because we're prideful. We're all prideful in some way. But this morning, I just want to ask that just for a moment, if you would just search your own soul and just say to yourself, maybe, just maybe, this message is for me today. And if everybody would do that, that those that have ears to hear, I pray that you would hear that. So let's take a quick look at our culture and what the message of our culture is today. How many of you remember the TV show Gilligan's Island? All of us. And you're all smiling. It's funny, right? And memorable. We can recite the opening song, a three-hour record, right? We all know that, right? But did you know that the real cultural backdrop is for this love show? It's going to change your thoughts about it. Spoiler alert. The writer of the show intentionally based it on the seven deadly sins. He made these sins seem fun. So let's look at the list. Who represented greed? Howell's the millionaire, right? How about anger and frustration? Skipper. Lust. Ginger, right? Sloth. Mrs. Howell, the millionaire's wife. Glutton. That was Gilligan. Wanted more. Just wanted to enjoy himself. Envy. That was Marianne. She was jealous of Ginger. And pride. The professor. Interesting that there's seven cast members, seven deadly sins. And also, I thought it was interesting because just like sin, the three-hour tour found the castaways stranded for a long time. So we can trivialize sin and in all earnest, we've all got a little pride, right? Is it really that bad? Let's study today what God thinks about pride. So let's look at the definition of pride. Inappropriately valuing yourself in relation to others and to God. So what is pride exactly? Well, first, what is not pride? Let's start there. Pride is not acknowledging and appreciating the gifts and abilities God has given you. When you're given certain gifts, you should enjoy those gifts, you should use those gifts, you should share those gifts, especially for the good of your community. Nothing to be ashamed of. Pride is not the presence of godly desire, ambition, and purposeful direction in your life. Your desire to be a missionary, for example. We heard from Sam and Kayla today. You could puff up with that. You could say, oh, I'm on travels for the Lord. But no, it's fine to have a godly desire to that. In 1 Timothy 3:1, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. So this is a noble task. This is not bad. Pride is not acknowledging the work of God within you. And it is not the pursuit of excellence. As long as we're not comparing ourselves to others or trying to overcome other people, excellence can be seen well in God's eye. So, let's look at today's sermon text. You can find it in your Bible in the pages listed, but it's right here. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So, the first observation from this. Pride is both an action and an attitude. Both what you're doing and how you feel about it. In pride, the focus is on yourself. You're turning your ways away from God. Spotlight is a great idea. We can put someone in the spotlight. We can put ourselves in the spotlight, right? Okay. This is not the right way to do it. It's not, look at me. We should be pointing to the cross. So we need to not look at ourselves. We need to look to the cross. And that's who should be in the spotlight. But the other thing is, you can also be poor in spirit and still be seeking attention. I'm not like those other people. I can do without a fancy car. I'm just lowly, plain old me. Notice there's still an emphasis on I. And the attitude is haughty. That's cavalier. I don't care. It's not my problem. In your face with it. It's a haughty attitude. Secondly, prideful people are an abomination to God. So the prime example here is Satan. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible. His greatest sin was pride. He wanted to be like God and above all the other heavenly beings. He wanted to be the highest. We know how that turned out, right? In Proverbs 16:5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Now, abomination means something a little bit more. The thing that we look at is it's disgusting in God's eyes, detestable, sickening. It's bad, right? But the other thing that this can mean is a characteristic that functions outside of its original design. For example, think. Putting orange juice in a gasoline engine. You can do it, but that's not what it's designed for. Flossing your teeth with guitar wire. You can thank Pastor Ryan for that one. So it's just not designed to function that way. And when we're prideful and do things our way, we just can't function the way God designed us either. So observation number 3. Pride is the root cause of downfall. The other night, I watched a documentary on the life and times of the actor Charlie Sheen. I hope you haven't seen it. Now, there was probably nothing redeeming about this story at all. It doesn't even have a good ending. But it happened to be the perfect example for our psalm reading today. Charlie abused drugs alcohol, and relationships. Culture ate this up to the point where he became more and more famous. The worse he got, the more people loved it. That's our culture. He was on the cover of several magazines. He became more famous. He made over $2 million for every episode on TV that he did. And it went higher. The worse he was higher. Until he reached destruction. So you can't break God's word without consequences. 3 divorces, multiple overdoses, loss of friendships, multiple rehab visits, and more than one near-death incident. And as far as we know, he's still on that road. Another example, biblically, we read in Genesis about the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." God has his way again. Observation number 4. Pride causes separation from God. Now, I'm going to try something here. A little afraid of this, but we're going to try this. When our children were little, we went to a talk one time. And there was a lady, she had a puppet. His name was Ezra Peabody. Ezra P. Peabody. P is for perfect. And I'm not a ventriloquist, and I'm not good with a puppet either. But Ezra said, "I'm good. I'm really good. In fact, I'm perfect. Are you sure?" "Oh yeah, I'm perfect. In fact," he said, "I can do this on my own. Are you sure?" "Oh yeah." "All right, would you like to try it on your own?" "I want to try it on my own." "Okay, let's see how this works." And she laid the puppet down in the front for everyone to see. And they waited and waited. Nothing happened. We read in Psalm 2, 1 through 6. "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles.' What does God do about this? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.'" Well, God hit me on the side of the head with his word a few years ago. And I've shared this with some people before, but I'm sitting in the deer blind reading a business book. It was called How to Run Your Business by the book by David Anderson. And the book was the Bible. And halfway through the book, tears started streaming down my face, and I realized my shame and sorrow that I had spent a lot of years doing things wrong, against God's plan. When I returned to work that Monday, God impressed on me the importance of leaving pride behind. I did what I could to try and submit to Him. God gave me the desire to learn what it takes to be humble. Now, it took some time, and I'm still working on it. Chris. He's slowly replacing in my life pride with humility, an attitude of service rather than wanting to be served, an attitude of control and micromanagement with more freedom to the people who care for me at work. I'm still a work in progress, but I believe He has me on a better track and has helped me focus on Him. Number five. I'm getting back on five. There we go. Number five. Humility is recognizing one's lowliness and dependence on God. I read a quote by J. Vernon McGee, famous Christian author and preacher. He said, and I just had a chuckle, "This is God's universe, and He does things His way. You may have a better way, but you don't have a universe." So the point was, God has supreme authority, and He has control over all creation, and He has a plan, and we need to follow His plan, not our plan. All right, got three applications. First, ask God to dwell with you. In Isaiah 66:2, this is what the Lord says: "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being," declares the Lord. "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." As God is saying this, I can just imagine His home, where He dwells, is in the heavens, and He literally lays His feet down to rest on the earth. We are lowly. We're a footstool for the Lord. Yet we think that we have to build Him some large temple, some large place, some large building, a place for Him. But really what He's looking for, where He's looking to dwell, is with those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and those who follow His word. The words are tremble at His word. So, how will God actually dwell with us? First, personally, on an individual level. In 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" Your bodies, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, we were bought with a price. That was a big price, wasn't it? The death of Jesus on the cross. Like Ezra here, bought with a price on Amazon, $35. Ezra's nothing without us. We're nothing without God. Okay? We are separated from God. And how does God dwell in our community? And we talked about that this morning already. In fact, several things people said this morning, Sam and Kayla, Phil, Chris giving parts of the sermon. That's how God is. His message goes throughout. How does God dwell in our community? From 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You here together, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are that temple. So we're also God's temple, and we need to care for each other. That's part of God's plan. Second application, ask for his grace. So we know this. What is grace? It's a gift freely given and not deserved, right? How many times have we heard that? We should know that. Part of this asking for his grace, we need to confess our sins and repent. Turn away from them and not sin again. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And in Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we talked earlier, children's sermon, about Savior. Now, the Savior part is a little bit easier. We just need to give ourselves to that. But don't forget the Lord part. And we've talked about that here before in church. Christ needs to be our master. We need to know his word, and we need to follow him and follow his example. He needs to also be our Lord, not just our Savior. Third application. Ask for humility. Imitate Christ's humility. Now, this is not for the sake of humility. It took me a while to wrap my head around that. We're not seeking this for the sake of humility, but for the sake of God's grace. Humility is for pleasing God by acknowledging him and honoring his commands. When we're humble, he will lift us up. In 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Again, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And in Luke, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He lifts us up when we're humble. Sorry, I knocked you out again. Thank you. And lastly, in James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Are you hearing the word humble? Our church community here, by God's word, must display humility. The implications of this cannot be overstated. God shows favor to the humble. This is our future here, and this is the future of God's word in our community. We're the bearers of that. And I'd like to close us in prayer. I want to close us in prayer in Paul's words to the Philippians. If you listen carefully. This is from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.